Station WKZO presents Western Michigan at Work. Not many of us take the time to visit the shops and factories and offices to see Western Michigan at work. To bring you a word picture of Western Michigan industries and the people who work in them, Station WKZO presents each week at this time a program about an industry where you will find Western Michigan at work. This evening, it's the Allen Electric Company of Kalamazoo. And here's Willis Dunbar to tell you the story.
Good evening. Exactly 25 years ago, Gerald H. Allen started a business in a Detroit suburb that has grown into the Allen Electric Company of Kalamazoo, the largest manufacturers of automotive testing equipment, battery chargers and testers in the world. Gerald Allen built this business from scratch. He had just $35 in the bank with which to launch his enterprise. There was no possibility of renting or buying expensive floor space and equipment. And so the carpet on the living room floor of the Allen home was taken up, roofing paper was laid in its place, and there was the first workshop of the Allen Electric Company. It all started with an idea that took shape in the mind of young Gerald Allen, Canadian-born, with an engineering degree from Michigan State, a lot of energy, and an avid interest in all things mechanical. It was the year 1921, a time when the automobile industry was going into high gear. Billy Durant of Flint was conjuring up his plans for the giant General Motors Corporation. There were cars and cars, many more makes of cars than now, but the Model T Ford was in a class by itself. There were probably more Fords on the road than all other cars put together. Along with the growth in the number of automobiles came garages to repair and service these cars. At first, it was pretty much hit or miss. You took your car into the garage, if you couldn't fix it yourself. A mechanic looked it over casually and allowed as how this or that must be wrong. But things were changing in 1921. There was a trend toward diagnosing motor ills more scientifically, more like the doctor diagnoses your aches and pains. One of the things that went wrong frequently was the generator. Now, some ingenious fellow had devised an elaborate and expensive generator tester that had a variable speed motor on it. But this variable speed motor cost so much that very few garages could afford to buy one of the testers. Then one day, Gerald Allen was looking over one of these gadgets, and he got an idea. There were a lot of different cars having different kinds of generators, but most cars, after all, were Fords, and the Fords all had exactly the same kind of a generator. So, why not make a simple generator tester with a single-speed motor that could be sold for a fraction of what the other kind had to be sold for? That was the idea. It sounded good, but would the garage owners agree? There was just one way to find out. Gerald Allen got in his car and started out through the state. On his first trip, he sold 10 of these new testers at $128 apiece. Within a very few weeks, they were selling like hotcakes. 3 months later, Allen took in a partner who put $1,000 in the venture and got a half interest. 3 months after that, or 6 months after the initial sale, another partner put in $1,000, and he was mighty glad to get a one-tenth interest. At the end of 3 years, Harry Levine bought out Allen's first partner for $35,000, and Gerald Allen loaned him about half of the money to complete the deal. Levine paid back the money to Allen out of the earnings from the business during the next several years. That's how the Allen Electric Company got started. A man, an idea, and mighty good business sense. Now, for some years, it was just a little one-horse business. It came to Kalamazoo back in 1926, 20 years ago. And as late as 1933, it employed only 50 people. Today, its gross sales are well over $2 million a year, and more than 400 people are on the payroll. When I visited the plant a short time ago, I saw big crates marked for shipment to New Zealand. And I learned that wherever there are automobiles all over the world, there is Allen equipment for testing engines and charging batteries. Allen workers like their jobs. The labor turnover because of worker dissatisfaction is only about 3% per year. They've had an independent union out there for 16 years. I was interested in a unique setup in the Allen plant to make the work seem easier. A public address system is wired to all parts of the plant, and five times each day records are played for the enjoyment of workers. You start the day at Allen with some rousing march music. Along about the middle of the morning, you listen to the latest popular tunes while you work. There's a full hour of music at noon, and then more throughout the afternoon. I spent a whole afternoon in the plant with Gerald Allen, the fellow who built the business from scratch. He's no armchair executive. That afternoon, he was in his shirt sleeves, and he knew most of the folks who worked there in the factory. The gang has frequent get-togethers, during the summer, for instance, a big all-day picnic out at Indian Lake. Looking over the corporate statement of the company, one discovers that more money went to employees as bonuses during the year 1945 than went to the stockholders of the corporation. No wonder there are no labor management troubles at this plant. There was a note of real affection in his voice when Mr. Allen introduced to me his two oldest employees, Mona Hoffmaster and Gordon Churchill. Many of the folks who work at the Allen Electric Company are highly skilled technicians and engineers. In the research department, one sees several engaged on projects for developing constantly new and better equipment. Some of the operations out in the plant require great skill and accuracy. Right now, the newest thing is the first entirely automatic battery charger to be manufactured anywhere in the world. Production on these is just starting, but already 13,000 of them are on order. It's just about the classiest little gadget you ever saw. But I don't think I can describe it fully. I'm going to turn to B.E. Berthelet, who is sales promotion manager at the Allen Electric Company, and is here in our studio with me this evening for further information. Mr. Berthelet, I wonder if you'll describe this new machine.
Well, Mr. Dunbar, as you said, this is the first entirely automatic battery charger ever designed and produced. It is mounted on small rubber-tired wheels and can easily be moved to any place in a garage or service station to test and charge the battery in any vehicle. Its weight is less than 90 pounds.
Just how do the automatic features work on it, Mr. Berthelet?
The electronic principles have been developed to a great extent during the war. We have used these principles to automatically test a battery in a vehicle, reject those not in condition for further service, and charge those which are in good condition. Red, amber, and green signal lights are used to indicate the various steps of the cycle as they are automatically performed. The first step, indicated by the amber signal, is to charge the battery to condition it for further test, and the second step tests the battery under operating load. The total time for conditioning charge and test is only 7 minutes. The next step either rejects the battery as not fit for service and is indicated by the red signal, or the green signal lights indicating the start of the high-rate charging operation, which is automatically discontinued at the end of a 30-minute period. Thus, the entire conditioning, testing, selecting, and charging cycle is automatically performed and completed in only 37 minutes.
I noticed when I visited the plant, Mr. Berthelet, that this whole intricate piece of machinery that you've been describing is made right there in the plant. I noticed that even the metal cases in which the tester is contained are shaped and welded. The mechanism itself is put together on an assembly line, each worker doing a particular set of operations. Perhaps, Mr. Berthelet, you would tell us what some of the other products of the Allen Electric Company are.
We produce complete engine analyzers to test every operating part of internal combustion engines, a synchrograph to test engine distributors under actual operating conditions, electric servicers and laboratories to test and repair detached electrical units such as generators, starters, regulators, and magnetos, portable electric arc and spot welders, and many small testing tools such as vacuum gauges, compression gauges, battery cell testers, timing lights, growlers, etc.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Berthelet. Now I'd like to tell our listeners something about what the Allen Electric Company did during the war. Obviously, in a mechanized war such as the late war was, the sort of equipment produced by Allen was of vital importance. In fact, the Allen Electric Company supplied every branch of the service with its testing and charging apparatus. submarines, radar, radio, lighter-than-air aircraft, and the atomic bomb project all used materials with the stamp of Allen on them. High-speed generator testers were supplied to our allies, China and the Soviet Union. Battery chargers putting out as high as 2,400 amperes were built. The equipment produced in this Kalamazoo plant played no small part in making victory possible. But aside from this, the Allen Electric Company made another contribution to the war effort, which I think is quite unique. And that contribution was based on a project which was started long before Pearl Harbor. It was back in the middle 1930s that executives of this company were confronted with a problem bearing directly on the company's operations. Better testing equipment was being developed and turned out constantly. But what good was this equipment unless garage mechanics understood how to use it? It was easy to foresee that sales would be limited unless this problem could be solved. There seemed to be just one solution: to get out and teach mechanics how to do the job. The task, as you imagine, was rather staggering. The first step was to develop a course of instruction. But any such course, if it were confined solely to the use of Allen equipment, would be, of course, lopsided. And so the Allen and Company set out to develop a complete course in modern engine tune-up. A complete educational program consisting of students' textbooks, instructor's manual, slide film, examination papers, operator certificate, mailing folders, and program plan was written and published in 1938, the larger share of the work being done by Mr. Berthelet, who has been with the company for 17 years and, as we said before, is here with us tonight. The next year, 1939, Mr. Berthelet went out into the field, and he gave 150 talks, each 3 hours in length, based on a preview he prepared to acquaint the men of the automotive service industry with the educational program which the Allen Company had available for their benefit. Local instructors were employed and furnished with a manual and illustrative slide film. Classes were organized, each holding 13 to 15 meetings of 3 to 4 hours each. Prior to our entrance into the war, this course was given in 390 cities in the United States and Canada, and 20,000 students took it. I wonder, Mr. Berthelet, if you'll tell our listeners how this Allen course of modern motor tune-up helped win the war.
The students' textbook, which we prepared, proved to be of value to many branches of the armed services operating mechanical equipment. We received orders for the manual, 100 at a time, from a number of military training centers, such as Fort Knox Armored Force School, Wright Field, etc. General Motors Overseas Operations ordered hundreds of copies, too. The manual was translated into both French and Spanish for use overseas.
To give our listeners an idea of how important this course was to the war effort, I'd like to read a portion of a letter recently received by the Allen Company from an official who was assigned to the Air Service Command at Wright Field during the war. Among the classifications which they were looking for were experienced, trained mechanics who could qualify for further training to become aircraft mechanics and crew chiefs. He writes, and I quote, "Allen-trained men were a godsend when we could get them. Little did we realize that training programs such as you conducted for peacetime business could prove so valuable to our armed services when faced with a global war. But it was such training that enabled many branches of the services, such as the Air Forces, to get rolling and do a job right from the beginning." I think that shows, Mr. Berthelet, that our country owes you and the Allen Company a debt of thanks for your big part in helping win the war. Will you resume the course when the war is over?
Yes, indeed. Plans are already underway.
Thank you. That's the story of how a little enterprise started 25 years ago in one room of a Detroit suburb home has grown and developed down through the years and helped win a global war.
You have been hearing the first in a series of programs about Western Michigan at work. Tonight's broadcast brought you the story of the Allen Electric Company of Kalamazoo. Next week, we will feature the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company on the program. You are invited to listen. Bob Tasler speaking. This has been another program presented by station WKZO in the public interest. WKZO on the Burdick Hotel, Kalamazoo. Don't lose the right to drive because you are involved